Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
And my thought is, when I look at what God did in the book of Acts, in chapter 8, there was a dispersion of the church because of the persecution. And it says that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but that the people went out. And as the people went out and started to share the good news of the gospel with others, the church grew and multiplied. And then all of a sudden the apostles were like, now we need to send in some leaders to take it to the next level and to establish it and to grow it and to grow the people there. And for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, God is about to do a work in this South location.
Yeah.
And your best days are yet ahead. I'm so excited for so much. Come on. What would you pray with me as we open up to God's word this morning? So God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have a message personally for each and every single one of us.
Yeah.
That today, God, your eyes are cast down here at South location. And God, your word is being prepared to be deposited into their hearts. And so, God, I pray that as you speak through me and what you have deposited into my mind and into my heart by your Spirit, God, I pray that it flow from heaven today, that it flow into hearts where there may be growth, there may be transformation takes place in our thinking and in our spirits.
Yes,
God, we don't want to walk out of this place the same today. We want an encounter with you and an encounter with heaven.
Yes,
so Lord, let every word that I say is of me fall to the ground, let every word of you come forth and produce fruit.
Yes, Lord.
In your mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Well, hey, we are in this series, Miracles Are Normal. And I wasn't here, I didn't get to hear last week's message in regards to South location. Actually, it wasn't any location, I was lying in bed. But thank God I was able to sit with God this week and hear what he wants to deposit into this location. But I asked the question as I was preparing this message. Have I ever asked myself the question, over wondering, what's my part in Miracles Are Normal?
Yeah.
And that's my question for you today, a South location. What's your part in Miracles Are Normal? What's your part in Miracles Are Normal? Because maybe when you hear Miracles Are Normal, you get excited. You're like, yeah, come on. Miracles Are Normal. We're believing for it. Dave, it's so good to see you guys here. And to see the miracle of God outworking in your life, it's awesome. Maybe you're here today and you're like, hey, you know what, when I hear Miracles Are Normal, I'm disappointed. I'm like, I'm devastated. Discouraged because something didn't work out the way I wanted it to work out and you thought that that was going to be the case. See, I too grew up in a Christian family where miracles were normal. I was the kid sitting on a swing, praying for the clouds to disappear so the sun could come out, and I was the first one. Because when I read about the miracles in the Bible, my mom told me that Jesus could do anything and nothing was impossible for him. And I just believed it. I was about 16 and 8 years of age when I had a nephew who was 4 years old, sorry, a cousin who was 4 years old, that I loved dearly. He was born with a disease that's one in a million, and it was going to take a creative miracle to change that situation. And I believed it. I was 16. I was faithful. I was reading every book you could think of on miracles along with the Word of God. And I was like, I was praying and laying hands on him. Through my own health issues, I had actually spent 6 months living with my family, my auntie and my uncle and their children. And I babysat them. And every day I prayed for him. And then after I'd finished living with my parents had moved to Punch, Victoria, I actually would go back there and look after him while my auntie took the other two children to play tennis. I laid hands on him and believed for a miracle. And at the age of 4, he passed away from what was considered to be pneumonia that just got on top of his lungs and his body wasn't able to fight it off. And I was devastated. It's like, God, you said that you're a God of miracles. Where's the miracle? Have you ever been in that? Because this is the reality sometimes of what we face. Is what do we do when our part, what is our part to play when miracles are normal, but we're not seeing miracles take place? And yet we see it take place in other people's lives. We see it take place in David's life. We see it take place in someone just in West last week, a healer of cancer.
Wow.
But what do you do when you're like, what is my part in this? What's my story in this? And you know, I know what it's like to be disappointed in those spaces, and I know what it was like to go through a process where God had to unravel my own understanding of faith, my own understanding of miracles, my own understanding of what my role was to play in that, and what His purpose and what His will is. And it's so complex. And so today I don't want to disillusion you in any way, form, or shape. But I do want to tell you, you've got a part to play in miracles and all.
Yeah.
You've got a part to play in miracles and all. Reminded of a passage in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11 that we're going to read together today. As we unpack this miracles and all, what's my part to play? But it says this. When they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father is fixed by his own authority, but that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, in Bomoros, in the south side of Melbourne, and to the ends of the earth.
That's good.
And when he had said these things, they were looking on as he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, behold, two men stood beside them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Maybe you hear miracles are normal and you're like on the edge of your seat because you're so excited because you know it's true and you're ready to lay hands on anything that moves. Maybe you're here today and you're disappointed like I was, or you've been devastated by circumstances that didn't work out the way you thought. Or maybe you're today like the disciples, staring into the sky, not so excited about what Jesus had just had proclaimed. And maybe you're needing a supernatural intervention like the angels, that angels turning up to the disciples, saying to them, why do you stand here gazing up into the sky? Maybe, just like them, you need a supernatural intervention today to be provoked out of a scary state, because what Jesus said is that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. And see, power, when you go into the Greek and you unpack it, you may have heard this before, but it means dynamite. It's like a dynamite. And dynamite is explosive in form. It has strength, it has power, and it has ability. And within it, there's inherent power, power residing in it. This same power is the power that Jesus promised to you as a follower of him when you are filled with the Spirit, that this same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. The Strong's Concordance unpacks it like this. It says there's power for performing miracles. Power for performing miracles. It says, especially miraculous power, ability, or abundance, meaning mighty work of miracles, power, and strength. Today, miracles are normal.
Yeah.
South, miracles are normal, and God wants to do miracles for you.
Yeah.
It says that the word witness means that someone who gives evidence of what they have seen and what they have heard. And so power to perform miracles is to witness or to speak of what you have seen and what you have heard. How often are you reading the word and finding the miracles and seeing what Jesus did versus the doubt of the situation or the past or the present or potential future? Because when I sit back and I read and I look and I look at what's going on, I see what Jesus is doing, I hear what Jesus is doing, and I hear what he says, but I have to align my thinking with what is his thinking, what is his word. Because my circumstances can't dictate to me what God will do or who God is.
Yeah, that's good.
And you know, Mark 16 verses 15 to 20, I'm going to turn to that also. If you look at the screens, you'll see it up there. It says this. And he said, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will.
Yes.
It is an expression of the inevitable. Will accompany those who believe in my name, and will cast out demons, and they will speak in new tongues, and they will pick up serpents with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Yes.
And so when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached or shared everywhere while the Lord had worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs.
Amen.
This is my truth. This is the word. This is what the word says. It says that they proclaim the gospel. The word is evangelion in the Greek, and it means good news. It means the salvation of Jesus. And this is what you and I carry in us.
Yeah.
And the question is it what we share?
Yeah.
Because these signs will accompany those who share, those who preach. And it's not a pulpit or like this preach.
Yeah.
It's those who share in everyday life.
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
And you know, as I was reading through this, my head went to Sir Wynum now. I take you back to when I was 16 and my cousin died. I was devastated because I believed that God was going to heal him and it was going to be a great miracle and testimony of the power of God, who God is, and a whole lot of people were going to get saved as a result, and I'm really excited about it. I was like, this is not over yet. As a 16-year-old child, I still rocked up to my cousin with grave with an expectation that he was going to rise from the dead, because I was like, it's in the Bible, it's possible.
Yeah.
And in that moment, devastation that came into my heart was, God, I believe in you, I know you're real, I can't look away from you, but I'm angry at you because you didn't come for it. Ever been there?
Yeah.
Flick through to, I'm not giving away my age, but flick through to probably 20 years later.
Ooh.
20 years later, I'm driving home from an event that I had just preached at as an itinerant pastor. I'm driving home, I was from Wodonga, back through to Shepparton, and as I was coming through, I was going to go past my cousin's grave. And I felt like the Spirit saying to me, drop in and go see your cousin's grave. And I'm like, he's like, I'm not going to graveyard. Like, he's not there, he's up there. Like, what? And literally, God was like, no, I need you to go. And I'm like, you know when you're like, am I thinking this or is this the Holy Spirit? Like, I still go on that journey, as do you, just so we're, you know, we're all on the same page. And I literally wrestled with it for like 20 Ks beforehand. And in the last minute, I ducked in the gravesite. And I sat down and was like, God, what is it that you want to do? Why have you got me coming back here? And he said, Sheree, when you were 16 and buried your cousin, when we buried your cousin, you buried your face. I was like, what? I'm like preaching the gospel. I'm like sharing Jesus' gospel with everybody. I never walked away from God. And he said to me, Sheree, well, I deposited in you as a child what you grew in and developed and had faith for when you were 16. You buried it when we buried your cousin. And it broke me up. I just fell apart on the side of the grave side, and I was like, God. And he's like, I'm about to resurrect that faith. Because don't get me wrong, I was still praying for people to come forward for miracles, miracles of salvation, miracles in their life, different things that were happening. And I still believed that God could do miracle miraculous. But I doubted if he wanted to. I know he can. But does he want it? Because he did it there. So does he want to do it here? And I was of miracles. He can turn things around. I had no doubt in what he could do, but I doubted if he wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're at right now, but you need to know whatever your past experience has been with Jesus, he is still the God of miracles.
Yeah.
He still wants to do a miracle through you, and he wants to do a miracle through you that reaches this city, that reaches this side of Melbourne, that reaches this town.
Yeah.
He wants to do a miracle through you.
Yeah.
The question is, often it's like, well, why not? And when I said that, when I sat with God and he sat on the side of this graveside with me, and he was like, you buried your faith, I was like, God, I want you to resurrect that faith. And this is what he showed me. See, this here, what's this? Yeah. Feel free to engage. I'm friendly. This is happy a lot. What is it?
Yeah.
It's what? Can everyone see it?
Yes.
Okay. Is it still alive?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
It's still alive. The Bible says in Matthew 5:14 that we are the light of the world.
Yep.
We're a light. We're a light. But we're just not plugged in.
Yeah.
Power flows through anything that's plugged in. It's the light. But it functions when it's plugged in.
Yeah.
And too many of us are professional Christians. We come to church, we believe. We're just not plugged into the source of the power. Because he said he would give us power to be his witnesses. And so often what happens is we're the good-looking light, we're the professional light, we look great. Everyone loves it, looks great in the lounge room. It's what you want. But a lot's useless unless it's plugged in.
Yeah.
It's absolutely useless unless it's plugged in to the source. And Jesus said, I will give you power. The Holy Spirit will come upon you in power. And this is, as believers, our responsibility. We have to decide, are we just going to be a professional light, professional Christian, where we go in, we check in, we do church, we do all of those things. And we get stuck in this place where it's like, there's no power evident. We're wearing all the right things, we're saying all the right things, we're doing all the right things, but there's no power. And this is the thing, lights look good during the day when they're attractive, but when it's dark, it's useless. So when darkness happens in your world, when darkness happens in someone else's world, and they actually need someone to step in with the power of God, are you plugged into the source? For me, this was the reality. When God said to me, I'm going to resurrect your faith, he showed me that I was not just, I was just a professional Christian. I was doing all the things I needed to do out of a good heart and a good faith. Was my faith real? Yes. Did I believe that God was a God of miracles? Yes. But I was missing a key element in my life. And what God wanted to do was to break out in power through my life. But I buried it, and I failed to do what I was called to do in spaces and places because I wasn't plugged into the light. I was a professional Christian and not a professional, powerful believer. So you're not called to be a professional Christian, you're called to be a powerful Christian. You shall receive power. It means it will flow through you if you're plugged in. And see, this is the thing. What we need is a power encounter to fire us up, not to hype us up, but to fire us up.
Yes, good.
I'm going to say that again. You need power and a power encounter with the Holy Spirit, not to just fire you up and feel good or to hype you up, but to actually fire you are. See, when we think light, we think of a light like this. But when Jesus said, you are the light of the world, they didn't have plug-ins. They had fire. Yeah. The sun was a fireball in the sky. The lights that they carried, the torches they carried, were not like flashlights with batteries. They were a source of fire. And the thing is that in Acts chapter 2, you turn over one page and the disciples have come out of their scared state where they've had a moment where Jesus said, you're going to receive power and you're going to be my witnesses. And they're standing there like, oh yeah, a bit like a professional Christian. Okay. And Jesus brings an intervention. God's like, hang on, they need to get this. Let's just bring in a couple of angels and, hey boys, what are you doing? I told you to be my witnesses. I've taught you everything I know for the last 3 years. You're going to go and now go receive power. And then God, they had the mission, it was clear, but what they were lacking was the power. Now, near this moment, the disciples return and they go into the upper room and they plug into the source. They plug into the place of prayer. They plug into the place of his presence. And they're all together in this one place, and then suddenly there's a sound of a rushing.
Yep.
Suddenly, something changes, and it says that there were tongues of fire on each one of them. What are the three elements of fire? Oxygen, breath, fuel. My question is, God's got my statement. My statement is that God's got everything he's got. He's just waiting on you to come to him for a power encounter where he can breathe on the embers of your life and bring fire back and to bring power back. And the thing is that tongues of fire says it fell on each one of them. This is for all. When you have had a power encounter, miracles are normal. It's a statement. The question isn't, are miracles normal? The question isn't, are miracles normal? Are miracles normal? The question is, are you plugged in?
Yeah.
Are you plugged in?
Yeah.
See, I'm realistic now. Just as I was as a faith-filled kid at the age of 5, and even at the age of 16 through disappointment, I expect miracles. See, just recently, we've seen miracles breaking out in all different spaces and places in people's lives. And I've just gotten to a point where God was like, I'm going to resurrect this thing. Well, I was like, all right, I'm going to plug myself into the power of what you said is available to me, and I'm going to believe that you want to do miracles. I walked into a situation, like, great, fine, let's do it. Let's pray. Let's believe. And I have seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle begin to break out as a result.
Yeah.
And miracles are normal. But the problem is, your level of expectation will determine the reality of your experience. Because I walked in and was like, yeah, I can believe that God can do it, but does he actually really want to do it? My expectations diminished my belief.
Mm-hmm.
What are you waiting for? See, God doesn't want miracles just to be done through the preachers, the pastors, the prophets, the great healing evangelists. Miracles aren't normal because power is in each and every single one of you. And God wants to bring miracles through you into your workplace, into your family, into your home, into your street, into your city, into your area of influence. He wants to bring it through you. The question is, are you plugged in?
Mm.
Are you plugged in to the source? Because power flows through anything that is plugged in. And you need to manage your expectations because otherwise they're going to manage you.
That's good.
Can I be really honest with you? From the age of 16, I have done nothing but pursue God. And for 20 years, straight up 20 years, I missed it. That doesn't mean that God didn't use me, that God didn't do great things through my life and meet people I met and things that happened, people I prayed for. Because God would use me despite me. But I wasn't plugged into the source. I want to encourage you today, Plug yourself into the source. Power up. Because light is absolutely useless in dark places unless it's plugged into the source. You remember the story of Lazarus rising from the dead in John chapter 11? Jesus has gone into another town, he's doing ministry, he hears Lazarus being sick and Lazarus being unwell. He stays there a little bit longer and literally comes back 4 days later. And by that time, he's dead. In the Old New Testament, you had to be dead 3 days for you to be dead. Because there was too many things happening, so they were like, oh no, if they're dead 3 days, they're really dead. Which is why Jesus died on the cross 3 days later, rose again. Okay? So there's significance around that. But Lazarus is dead. He's dead 4 days. Jesus comes back. Two people in the characters in the story are his sisters, Mary and Martha. You remember those guys?
Yeah.
Jesus had a conversation about them and serving and all that, so we wait on tables and all that. Well, in this story, it's a switch. Martha comes to Jesus. We're going to read it. It's in John chapter 11, and I'm only going to read a couple of verses here. John chapter 11, 21 and 22. It says this. So Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Disappointment, discouragement, devastation. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God can and God will give it to you. There's a faith and there's an expectation. We turn over to verse 32. This is what it says about Mary. She stayed inside. She didn't want to come out and meet Jesus. Martha ran to him. Mary says, now when Mary came to Jesus, because he asked for her, because she didn't have the faith to believe. When Mary came to Jesus and to where he was and saw him, she fell at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. No faith, no expectation. One was plugged into the source and wasn't, and one wasn't. And yet, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. See, sometimes in life when you don't have enough faith to believe that God's a God of miracles and wants to move through you, he'll move through someone else. And my question to you today is, what's your part in miracles and more? What's your part in miracles and more? And to figure it out, you need to plug in the source. Just like Martha did. Go to him. Go to him. Lay out your concerns, lay out your disappointments, lay out the devastation. But have a but.
Yeah.
But I know. The God she takes. Have a but. The second thing is boldly obey. Obedience is an act of faith. Disobedience is a result of unbelief. Mark 16, 19, and 20, we read before, they preached everywhere and the message was confirmed by signs and wonders.
Yes.
Romans 1:16 says that I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power unto salvation. Boldly obey as you begin to share Jesus with people you know. You watch as there's opportunity to pray for this, to pray for that. Now, the outcome is not up to you. You've got to trust God with the outcome. But you've got to trust that he wants to do miracles through you and step in and boldly obey. Number three, expect signs and wonders. Expect it. Expect that there will be signs and wonders. Trust God with the outcome, but walk in with an expectation that says, my levels of expectation are that miracles are normal and they will determine my reality and my experience.
Right.
Miracles can happen in an atmosphere of expectation. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 says, I'm going to read it to you because I actually felt like I was a good one to turn to when I was reading it this morning. I was like, oh Lord, bring it. Let's do it.
Bring it.
Morning. Are you okay?
Yes.
1 Corinthians, it was on a marker. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, that it says this, "And my speech and my message were not with plausible words of wisdom." Let me say this. If you don't know what to say in sharing Jesus, then do sharing Jesus after the course. It will give you some skills, some actual framework to work with.
Yeah.
But you do not have to worry about what you say, when you say it, how you say it, because he will give you what to say. It's not about how excellent you say it.
Right.
It's what God's on as you say it. And then he says this, "It was not with plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on the wisdom of man, but in the power of God."
Yeah.
Expect signs, wonders, and miracles. I recently walked into a cafe where there was a young girl who had been serving us, and unfortunately, you know, one of those days where you're not so Christian. I'm human, just put it out there. I was in this cafe with a friend, and there was some stuff happening. I was in a deep conversation, and I was not observant of anybody or anything, which is a little bit opposite to my usual engagement in cafes and different things. And I sat there saying, "I'm eating my food, I'm having this conversation, I'm airing out my concerns, I'm like just processing a whole bunch of information." And then the Holy Spirit said to me in the middle of it, "See that girl over there? I want you to pray for her." And I was like, "Oh, Lord. She has served us all day, and I didn't even ask her name. I hadn't been nice. I gave her my order. I wasn't polite. I wasn't rude, but like I just wasn't being Jesus in the extension of compassion, love, mercy, and grace, and going out of my way. Like Jesus didn't listen at me." And in that moment, Jesus was like, "You need to go and pray for her." I looked at her hand, and I was like, "Okay, maybe that's what I'm meant to be praying for." And walked over and paid for our goods as we're about to walk out, and my friend had gone off to the bathroom. I'm standing there paying for the goods, and I just said, "Oh, hey, thank you so much for serving us today. I appreciate all you've done." And I said, "Oh, what happened to your hand?" And she unpacks with me that she's had this injury to her hand, which she can't pick things up and hold things. And so she's had it taped, and she's been seeing doctor after doctor, medical specialist after medical specialist. They told her there's nothing more they can do for it. They're just going to tape it. And she was having to tape it when she works. So she's got this bright pink tape with her. And I was like, "Oh, wow, that's crazy." I said, "Look, this does sound really strange." I said, "But I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. And I believe that he can heal. Would you mind if I prayed for you?" And she was like, "Oh, no, go for it." I was like, "Okay." So I said, "Do you mind if I just put my hand on your hand?" And so literally all I did was walk up, my hand on her hand like that, pray a very simple prayer. "Jesus, I thank you that you love her, that you have a purpose and plan for her life, that you want her to know you. And Lord, I pray, would you touch her hand right now and let her know that you are real, that you love her, and would you do a miracle in this hand in Jesus' name? Amen." Finish that, finish the conversation. Ended up talking to her a little bit, asking her questions, where she's from, and she was here, it was COVID, just in that season, and messy, and blah, 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 and just finished it up, left. 2 weeks later, went back with my friend to have a coffee, walked in, and it was COVID, so you weren't allowed in stores. You could get takeaway, but you couldn't go in the store, so we went in, ordered, we walked out, we're standing out front, my friend and I were just standing there talking, and in the background, I can hear her telling this story to the chick that she's working with. "You know how I told you about da da da, and the person that came in, they prayed for me, and then my hands are..." And literally was telling the gospel and the story of healing of her own wrist that had happened in her life. And it's so good. So good. And sometimes all it is being willing to hear, willing to be obeyed, willing to be plugged in, and willing to outwork it and expect something from those miracles.
That's good.
Now, I was like, "Lord, if you come through for her, that's awesome. I've just done what I was asked to do."
Yeah.
And I came with faith and expectation. You know, I prayed for a woman at her 30th birthday. She invited me and my other friend to her 30th birthday, and we've been talking, and she was saying how she'd been trying for a baby. I was like, okay, cool. She said, we're going to try with no luck. We're on our fifth round of IVF. It's our last round. And if this doesn't happen, we're not going to be able to have a child. And I was like, oh, wow. Well, so I believe that God is a God of miracles. And you know me, I'm a Christian. Are you okay if I pray for you? And this is at her 30th, right? And so in her mind, she's like, yeah, that'd be great. She's probably thinking, I'll go away in my cupboard in the closet and pray. So I just stood there in a group situation and just said, okay, God, I thank you for Cassie. Thank you, Lord, that you love her. Thank you that you have a purpose and plan for her life. Thank you, you want to bring white to her womb. So we speak in this dead womb in the name of Jesus and command to come back to life and to be fertile in Jesus' name. Amen. She rang me back 5 weeks later. You'll never believe it. I'm pregnant. I was like, come on. See, God is a God of miracles. He's a God of the miraculous, and he wants to do it, and he wants to do it through you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Nothing I have done is anything that you couldn't do.
Yeah.
The question is, are you plugged in? Are you obeying? And are you expectant of what God wants to do? Another one. Prayed recently for a lady at the front. She came forward. Like, typically, I don't know what it is. It's something on my life in this space. But another lady came forward for a miraculous breakthrough in the space. And it was for a husband. She'd been single for years and years and years, and I was like, I've got faith in the Lord for that. Now, hang on a second, let me just tell you this. I am 42 going on 43. This year will mark 25 years of me being single. I dated in high school, had an off boyfriend, whatever. It was very innocent, but like, it was still a thing emotionally. At 18, I made a decision. I was never going to date another guy from another guy's hand until I met the one, because Jesus had come to me and said to me, if that's what you want, I will give it to you. But if you want what I've got for you, you'll wait. 25 years later, I'm still waiting. Now, I say that to say this. I don't have to be married to pray for a miracle for her.
Yeah.
You don't have to be righteous to be a Christian. Because if you mess it up and go, oh, well, that didn't work. Thanks for trying. That's not how it works. It's the same with miracles. It's the same as miracles. Miracles are normal. Miracles are normal. I want to challenge you. I want to provoke you like the angels provoked the disciples.
It's good.
What are you doing just staring up in the sky waiting for the Lord to turn? That's not what you're designed for.
It's good, Sheree.
You're designed to go and make disciples, to go proclaim the good news of Jesus, to share it with those who need it, to care for the sick, to lay hands on it for them to recover, to see things happen. I'm going to finish with this story and continue to come back and we're going to do some ministry. Friday night, we took our team to start some ministry on the streets. And we started with 8 of us that have been praying and just really believing that God's calling us to go into the street and just see what God does, what prophetically opens up, what opens up for opportunities to share the good news, what opens up just to give an encouragement to somebody, not for anything, not target goals or anything like that, but just, hey, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in the city tonight? You have an agenda for the city. The enemy has an agenda for the city. Help us to partner with what you want to do and let us go out and be making a difference.
Yeah.
So we went out. Just Friday, just off. Out of those moments, there were a number of encounters.
Yeah.
Some got saved.
That's good.
Some received prayer. Some found Jesus to be the God instead of a God.
Yeah.
Some were ministered to. Some were connected by, oh, you're from that place. I know that person. Da, 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 da. I know that person. Da, 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 da. And I live around the corner from the church, so I'm going to come on Sunday. But we just intentionally went with eyes wide open.
Yeah.
We didn't go hunting people down and smack them over the head with a bottle. we just walked and said, Holy Spirit, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Now, we did that as a group on Friday. You can do that walking down the street as you go to lunch today. You can do that as you go to your groceries. You can do that as you go get your hair cut, you feel your fuel. You, whatever it is you're doing, you can do that.
Okay.
The beautiful thing was this. I don't ever want to freak people out or scare people out of their seats in church, but there's stuff like the demonic that you can encounter. There is so much stuff that has gone on in our city that is... God showed me a picture. It was like, we're sitting at a table getting ready to go out. We were praying. Jesus showed me this picture. He was sitting at the head of the table. He was saying, okay, I've given you a gift. I've given you this gift. I've given you this gift. I've given you this gift. Now, which is God. There's an assignment out there on people's lives. The enemy's marking. I want you to go. I want you to bring your gift to them. And it's the gift of Jesus through you. Right? Then he showed me this picture as the enemy is sitting at the same table with an array of demons that are giving out assignments. And God was like, we're countering those assignments.
Amen.
Now listen, for some of you, it will differ how you present, how you pray, what you do. For some of them, they just walk up and start a conversation. For some of them, they just lay hands on people and ask them if they can pray for people. Do I sit there as I watch everyone go out into the city? And I asked God, what do you want me to do? I went and spoke to one particular person, God showed me a picture for him. I went in, spoke with him, shared it with him, and walked out. And I was like, well, that wasn't anything major. But I trust you, I'm living with you. Stood there, came to one central point, began to pray. And as I began to pray, God was like, we're taking territory back.
Amen.
I was like, okay, I just need you to begin to pray. So I was like, okay, I'm praying in tongues. So I was just standing there. Not out loud, okay, not a crazy person, okay, just praying on my breath, praying in tongues. And as I was standing there praying, I was like, I don't feel like I'm really doing it. Everyone else is out there sharing and doing their thing. I was like, God, what do you want to do this space? And God was like, I want you to address the occupancy of the demonic in this space. Is that from a state library? Okay. Started praying. And then out of nowhere, someone began to manifest. And I was like, whoa, okay, cool. So I'm just standing back, one arm behind my back, and just actually just like this. Just praying. Yeah.
Team are out there doing their thing, sharing the news and gospel, praying for people, laying hands on people. And I felt like I was just like, this is what you need to do. And I prayed. And then I saw what I thought was a bloke sitting down beside his bin, and he was just scratching his head, going absolutely wild. I was like, okay, mental health issues. I can see there's obviously some stuff happening here. But what are you going to do in this? Do I need to go? Do I need to buy food? Do I need to? What do I need to do? And God's like, no, just pray. It's like, I'll keep that. I'll strip that. I'll get there. And I'm just standing there praying. And then all of a sudden, they went from scratching their head ferociously, like going at it, to tapping their head, and I was like, all right, okay, God, something's really going on here. Anyway, I started continuing to pray. That person then all of a sudden just looked up and just glanced at me, and I was like, ooh, face to face with the demon. Not her, the demon in her. All of a sudden, I start speaking in tongues, and I was like, I'm not breaking the stair. I'm like holding this stair. And Jesus is like, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. And I'm like, we're all dead. And you know when you feel awkward? You're like, oh. And I'm still just standing there. I was like, I'm not breaking the door, I'm not breaking the arms. And literally, that broke. It put her head back down. I found out it was a sheet, not a head. And literally, what took place in that moment, I kid you not. She picked up, and I didn't know this at the time because where I was standing couldn't see it. She picked up this big yellow bag and she walked away and she walked up to another spot, put her bag in. Oh, yeah, that's right. She walked up, put her bag in. Then she came back. And she, you know when you start to see something like wild, they're starting to get really aggressive and angry. And I'm like, whoa, Jesus, this person's either going to come at me and it's on my donkey pole or something's going to happen to me. Like, what are you doing? Sit back down beside where they were. Picks up a lighter to light a cigarette, lights the cigarette, and is like putting a lighter up to my face. And I was like, shit, da-da-da, book it, and I just took my breath. And in that moment, she picked up another bag, and she took it, and she walked away, and she went somewhere else. She did this 5 times. And then literally, as she left the last time, and I didn't know it was like, there was no bags or anything, I was just like, I just couldn't see what or anything where she was. I could only see the top half of where she was. And literally, the moment she walked out and put her bag somewhere else, so I was like, it's broken. Bang. At that point, a person over there got saved. At that point, another person over there got saved. I'm telling you right now, God wants to do the miraculous in and through you. Your prayers, your sharing of the good news.
Your laying of hands makes a difference. And I'm telling you, the miraculous is not. Miracles are not. And your part is to hear and to obey. So why don't you stand in faith? We're going to worship. And I want you now to close your eyes, stand before God, and I want you to ask Him, what is my part? What is my part in miracles and all? Now, I'm very aware that I'm in a room today where there are people here who probably need a miracle. But I want you to focus your eyes on Jesus, because He is the miracle source. But I want you to ask Him the question, what is my part to play in miracles unborn? And we'll pray for you at some point throughout the service for your miracle for you. But I honestly feel like God wants to crack something open. So what we're going to do right now is, if you speak in tongues, I want you to begin to speak in tongues. I want you to begin to open up your mouth and let the heavenly language come out. If you don't, I want you to begin to praise the name of Jesus. I want you to begin to repeat His name, because I believe the Spirit of God is here. He wants to set you free. He wants to liberate people. He wants to actually fill you with His Spirit. And that the gift of tongues that we give to you is a gift from a Father that I love. So begin to speak out loud now. Begin to lift it up with a loud voice. Don't be ashamed. Because God is the power of the gospel. He is the power of salvation. He is here. He is present. Why don't you begin to lift up your voice?
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, and I ask You to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God, and that You have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.